Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
2 Samuel chapter 23, the mighty men of David. It is amazing when you look at a list of names like this, and when you start to dig into it, the truths that God has for us, even in a list of names. There's a story behind each person's life. God recorded what He needed for us to know, but He knows everything. As we consider this list of men, God still has a list. And He knows you. He knows all about you. He knew all about you before this world was founded. And He cares. One day, we will all be glad that we gave it our all for the Lord. Or we may regret. Why didn't I? We are reading the Scriptures, seeing the life of David recorded, and now the reality of life, his life is coming to an end. Summarized in the Psalm in chapter 22, his last words in Mighty Men in chapter 23, and a warning in chapter 24. As we reflect on this great man's life, now we're into chapter 23 where the names of the mighty men that were with David. Three groups. First group, second group, and third group. The first group was the mighty of mighties. The second group, not quite as mighty. And the final group, mighty men. Take a look at the very end of this chapter 23 in verse 39. 30 and 7 in all. We have 3 in the first group, 3 in the second group, and 31 in the third group. God knows these men as God knows us. How would you feel if people were studying your life? We have in this list men from around the country, from the different tribes, men that we know nothing about, men that we can hardly pronounce their name. And so it is we now look at these 31 men left for our study. And they're very real people that lived. And they had trials and tribulations and concerns just like we do. And they were able to stand for God. And He worked mightily through them. And it is recorded for all time. They were mighty men. In verse 23, it says He was more honorable than the 30. I don't understand that. I'll be honest. He was more honorable than the 30, but He attained not into the first 3. So there is in this passage a little bit of a confusion there. I have to wonder if there wasn't a group of 30 that God has not revealed to us for whatever reason. But it was sufficient for us to know there were 30 and He was an honorable man. More honorable than the 30. Or was He part of the 31? And He was honorable, more honorable than the other 30. I don't know. We must rest knowing that God has given us the information that He wants us to have. Sometimes we come to the conclusion God has not told us. And sometimes we come to the conclusion I didn't see that before. Well, let's pick up at verse 24. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. But we already saw that there were 3, 3, and then a group of 31, 37 in all. So I don't understand that. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Now we see it parallels 1 Chronicles 11:26. Also the valiant men over the armies were Asahel, the brother of Joab. The parallel passage. Asahel, brother of Joab. David's nephew, brother of Abishai, He tried to kill Abner when the civil war was going on, as King Saul died. And it was not just a peaceful takeover when David just ascended to the throne. There was a civil war. Asahel tried to kill Joab. Joab being an older man, more skilled in warfare, but not as athletic. It said Asahel could run like a deer. And Abner said, basically, get away. And he said it the second time, get away. And the third time, he hit him dead on the spot. I personally see some confusion here with Asahel to truly understand. He's Joab's brother, but we know from the scriptures that he died back in 2 Samuel chapter 2. That's a long time. I want you to think about this. He died in 2 Samuel chapter 2 pretty soon after David was basically king, but there was a transition civil war at the time, and he dies in this civil war. Look at 2 Samuel 5, 4. David was 30 when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So this Asahel, the brother of Joab, apparently was very young, as David's kingdom was also in its infancy. Here comes my confusion. I'm just being honest with you. 1 Chronicles 27:7, the parallel passage, the fourth captain of the fourth month was Asahel, the brother of Joab. And Zebediah, his son after him, and his course were 20 and 4,000. How can that Asahel be? I don't understand that as David's nephew. I see a little bit of confusion there, and I let the confusion rest on me. I guess sometimes you point these out. Does anybody else get confused by this? Yeah. Maybe God will illuminate one of you, and you can go, Pastor Holler, I was reading, and I saw it. Great, tell me. Now, either David established the order that we see in 1 Chronicles 27 sooner than it seems, or could there be another brother of Joab named Asahel? I don't know. Whatever it is, God knows. And aren't you glad that's what matters? And then it says, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. We know little about this man, but it seems his brother is also a mighty man. Take a look at 23 verse 9. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. They have the same father, the son of Dodo. And if you consider this, one says he's Dodo the Ahohite, which actually, when you drill down in that original word, it really talks about a family lineage as opposed to Bethlehem, which obviously indicates a town. So I do believe we can see reason here biblically that Eleazar and Elhanan were brothers, and both were mighty men. Verse 25, Shammah the Haradite, Elika the Haradite, Heles the Paltite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekoite. No comment on some of these names. That's left with God. We have Ira, a Tekoite. He also, in chapter 27 of 1 Chronicles, is listed there in verse 9. The sixth captain of the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite. He was a mighty, mighty man. Tekoite, he was from the same town where, remember, Joab took the woman of Tekoa? And she tried to deceive David with her false story. When she was all done, David said, I see Joab behind all this. Verse 27, Abiezer, the Anethethite, Mibunai, the Hushathite. Abiezer, Anethethite or Anathite, again, listed in 1 Chronicles 27, 12. The ninth captain of the ninth month of Abiezer, the Anethethite. A mighty man. We know nothing more than Mebunai, the Hushathite. Verse 28. Zalman, the Ahohite. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? from Elhanan, an Ahohite. Maharai, the Netophathite, 29. Heleb, the son of Benah, a Netophathite. Ittai, the son of Ribai, out of Gibeah of the children of Benjamin. Benaiah, the Pirathonite. Hittai, of the brooks of Geash. Abnon, the Arbathite. Asmaveth, the Barhumite. Eliaba, the Shalbonite. And the sons of Jashan, Jonathan. Shama, the Harathite. Ahiam, the son of Sharar, the Harathite. Eliphelet, the son of Ahashbay, the son of Maacathite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Who is Eliam? He is Bathsheba's father. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? This man is risking his life, valiantly serving King David, and he takes his wife. And then David murders him. Do you ever think you might be wronged in this life, even when you're doing right before God? This man is recorded as a mighty man of God. David has sinned greatly with this man's daughter. But let us not forget, there's guilt at Bathsheba's door too. Dare we say that Eliam failed as a father to raise such a daughter who would commit adultery? What parent has raised the perfect child, folks? That hasn't happened yet. Here we have the name Eliam. He's grandpa. Did you notice he is not bitter at David's sinful act? He kept serving God. He stayed faithful and trusted God to deal with David. God did punish David. He honored Eliam and he blessed with Solomon, Eliam's grandson. Hang in there. Have you been wronged? Welcome to the fraternity. But stay faithful. God will bless. The son of Ahithophel the Gilonite. Remember this Ahithophel in chapter 15? He was David's counselor. 2 Samuel 15:12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifice, and the conspiracy was strong. Absalom sent for Ahithophel. He betrayed David. He was not faithful. Ahithophel was bitter at David because of the sin. Ahithophel, Eliam, Bathsheba, Solomon. Ahithophel would be great-grandpa, and he got bitter. And he betrayed David and went over to the camp of Absalom. His son Eliam is recorded as a great man of God. His son-in-law, Uriah, recorded as a mighty man. But Ahithophel did not get recorded as a mighty man. I want you to see what he was like in life. 2 Samuel 16:23. This is how godly this man was. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. They respected this man's wisdom. And yet, he was bitter and it destroyed him. If you remember this story, David sent Hushai back to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel because he knew it was going to be good. And the counselors of Absalom supported the counsel that was not of Ahithophel but of Hushai. And chapter 17:23, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city. He put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. He is not listed in the mighty men of David. He was bitter. He was a mighty man. Folks, we can all fall. Is it not amazing that Ahithophel, his great-grandpa, and he has wisdom as if you're talking to an oracle of God, and his great-grandson Solomon had the greatest wisdom in the world, and what happened? He took 1,000 women and they turned his heart against God. Folks, we have to be careful. If these men can fall, we can fall. Verse 35 of chapter 23, Hezrei the Carmelite, the Parai, the Arbite, Egal, the son of Nathan of Zobah, Benai, the Gadite, Zelek, the Ammonite, Nahari, the Berethite, armor-bearer to Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Let's first of all look at Zelek, the Ammonite. Not mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, but we do know that the Ammonites were bitter enemies of Israel. And this man is an Ammonite who was once of the people of bitter enemies against Israel, and he has joined and become loyal to David, and he has been listed among the mighty. I think we can see the spiritual applications here too. That we can come out of the dregs of society and still serve God, and he will use us because he's merciful. And if we're faithful, God is not a respecter of persons. You can do great things when you allow God to work through you. Bitter enemies. I like this guy Nahari, the Berethite, armor-bearer to Joab. Armor-bearer to Joab. A Berethite. The Berethite were of the Gibeonites. Do you remember in Joshua chapter 9? The Gibeonites of old, when Joshua was conquering the land, they dressed as if they were strangers from a faraway land, but really they were deceivers, and they tricked Joshua and the elders of Israel into a treaty so that they would be spared. When they were discovered, Joshua made them servants to the priests. Take a look at it in Joshua 9:21. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. They were to be complete servants. And somehow, we don't know how, this armor-bearer to David, a Berethite, one of the cities of the Gibeonites, has become a soldier in David's army and a mighty man. Again, you make yourself available to God. Don't worry about, I'll never amount to anything. Don't worry about amounting to anything. Worry about being what you can for God. And if God chooses to elevate you, praise God. But even if God keeps you in a lowly position in hewing wood and hauling water, you can still be a mighty man if that's what God called you to. Somehow God changed this man's status where he was not in such a servant in such a condition, but rather a soldier. This man, Nahari, was an armor-bearer to Joab, the son of Zeruiah. This is the one that keeps bubbling up the surface to be the captain of the host. Here is this man who is a armor-bearer to Joab, and Joab is not listed as a mighty man, but his servant is. Don't worry about it. Do you have a boss who's unreasonable? Do right before God, and God will make all things right. And maybe when you're in heaven, you're going to be standing way ahead in the line to the person who is your boss. God makes all things right. You be faithful where God has planted you and watch what he will do. He is not a respecter of persons. Verse 38, Ira, the Ithrite, Garab, an Ithrite. For 39, here we are, Uriah, the Hittite. We have seen this family just a few verses before. Uriah was the husband of Bathsheba. David took his wife, and murdered him. Again, 2 Samuel 11:3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, who's a mighty man, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, a mighty man?" You may be giving your all to God, and somebody will really do you dirty. Hang in there, because the record stands now for all eternity. They were mighty men. David surely has great sins, and it is very believable that they knew of these sins. Adultery. David had multiple wives. David got Uriah drunk. Obviously not setting a good training for his family, for his boys. The mighty men listed in this chapter served David in spite of his sin. If you only follow a perfect leader, you will not follow anyone. You can't even follow yourself. Eliam is a classic example. His daughter, his son-in-law Uriah, murdered. And in spite of that, Eliam was found faithful and listed as a mighty man. He even had to endure his father. Eliam had to endure his father, Ahithophel, betraying David. Folks, are you ready to stand sometimes when your family's not doing right or when your family is wronged? Stand for truth. We are studying here this list of mighty men under the kingship of David. He was their leader. God allowed him to assemble such men of valor. Loyal to him, we saw in this study certain situations where these men stood against 300, 800, lion-like or lions, valiant in battle, risking their lives. God knew and God recorded. But isn't it interesting when we stand back and look at the whole big picture? We see David and his mighty men. We see a psalm written at the end. And what do we see of King Saul, his predecessor? He killed himself. He sought the wisdom of a witch from Endor. God is not the respecter of persons. There is no such record of mighty men around King Saul. He was an unspiritual man, selfish and self-righteous. So it was Saul was not honored to have men as David did. David was a sinner's sinner. And yet, God had his hand on him. Saul was head and shoulders above everyone else. But he did not have the true following of the people. Oh, they followed him because he was the king. Folks, is that really what you want as the leader? They follow me because I have to? Or would you rather have people follow because, yes, he's done wrong, but he humbled himself before God? This is a leader. This is one that you can respect. Spirituality is the trait that we must see here. These mighty men could do what they did because God brought the victory. Why could David do what he did? Because God's hand was on him. We're not fighting on a battlefield as these men did. We are fighting on a spiritual plane. Sometimes, many times, it is not obvious what we are going through, the burdens that we carry. But we do carry battles, and we do carry opposition and pains and struggles. God knows, and as He gave these men victory, He can give us victory. Because we apply ourselves to Him, but if we don't apply ourselves to Him, you're on your own. You're going to be like an Ahithophel or a Joab. Not what God could have done through you. We are not Israel. We are the church. They had a promised land. We do not. We have heavenly promises. We're the church, but we still face trials and tribulations. every day. And God is keeping the record. And one day, we have here this roll call of these mighty men. One day, we're going to stand before that Bema seat for rewards or loss of rewards. Oh, folks, live for that. Live for the great day we stand before God. And we're going to see those nail-scarred hands. The faith will be sight. I do believe this is a picture of the, if you will, Son of David and His mighty soldiers, Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. Christ said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Paul said to Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Did you know you're allowed to know that? Not in arrogance, but you're allowed to know fundamentally, yeah, I think I'm on the right path. God does not want us completely void of any understanding and encouragement. Well, I just hope God's pleased. I just hope. Listen, there's a balance. We can think too highly. We can think too low. Let's have the proper balance in there. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm doing the best I can. Quote, "David on an earthly level is Jesus on a higher. Every noble quality of David, his courage, his activity, his affection, his obedience and trust towards God, his devotion to the welfare of others, reappears purer and higher in Jesus. If David is surrounded by his 30 mighties and his 2 threes, so is Jesus by his 12 apostles, his 70 disciples, and preeminently the 3 apostles who went with him into the innermost scenes. If David's men are aroused by his example to deeds of daring like his own, so the apostles and the disciples go into the world to teach, to fight, to heal, and to bless as Christ had done before them. Looking back from the present moment to David's time, what young man of spirit but feels that would have been a great joy to belong to this company? Much better than to be among those who were always complaining and criticizing and laughing at men who shared his dangers and sacrifices. And does anyone think when another cycle of ages has gone past, he will have occasion to congratulate himself while he lived on earth he had nothing to do with Christ and earnest Christians, that he bore no part in any Christian battle, that he kept well away from Christ and his staff, that he preferred the service and pleasure of the world? Surely no. Shall any of us then deliberately do today what we know we shall regret tomorrow? There is coming a great roll call, if you will. One day, everything will be known. Very, very sobering truth. We see here men, even David, with great sin. And yet God looks down on him, even in the book of Acts, and says, "You're a man after my own heart." Folks, don't be broken and discouraged. Rather, be encouraged. God is a God of mercy. These men testify that He uses simple people, unknown to most of the world, but He knows.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.